You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.
What it is, what it do, welcome to Fresh Take. Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot. It is the ISO pod running down everything in the National Basketball Association, and probably one of the last kind of summer type of pods as far as the off season goes. Let's go with that off season type of pod, as camps are getting pretty close to getting started here, and we had a few news and notes that happened in the last few days. So we're going to run down some of those news and notes, a few big news items that came across us in the last few days, and let's start with kind of some of the. There's two big stories that we want to get to, and they concern the draft, and they concern the future of the NCAA and all that, and that's going to be very, very telling and very interesting. But right now, I want to focus on the Lakers and adding Dennis Schroeder to the team. So Schroeder, who obviously fumbled the bag with the Lakers just a few seasons ago, then he ended up going to Boston, and then he was traded to Houston, finished off at Houston. He's been doing really good. Made the all-first team for Euro basketball for Germany this year. Had a tremendous time there. For them, when he was with the Lakers the last time, 15 points per game, he had 5.8 assists, he shot 35 from three, which for the Lakers right now, they will take that. They need someone that is somewhat efficient from downtown. His career high is 38, so second highest time he ever shot the three ball was that time when he was with the Lakers. Last year, dropped a little bit in points, only with 13.5, but not too off when he played for the Celtics, only off a point at 14.4 with Boston. And then when he went to Houston, lost a little bit of that, lost 3 minutes per playing time, went from 29.2 minutes of playing time to 26.9 minutes of playing time, obviously, as Houston was trying to indulge and get in more of the rookies into their kind of rotation and whatnot there. So Schroeder comes back, and it's interesting now, though. It leaves a lot of questions for that Lakers starting lineup. If you're going to assume that, I guess, Thomas Bryant is at the 5 and AD's at the 4 and then Braun is at the 3, the next question would be then, well, who's running the point? And now we're starting to hear things, because the Lakers on set now have 4 players that play the point guard position. Russell Westbrook, Pat Bev, Kendrick Nunn, and now they add Dennis Schroeder. Some depth charts have had Schroeder as a two guard. Some have had Pat Bev as a two guard. I guess technically Nunn can play the two guard. I would say I'm more comfortable with Pat Bev as the two guard, just defensively speaking. I want to have him out there to cover for if a man blows by Brody, and we know that his defense can't be as trusted. There's also been some talk about potentially putting Brody to the bench and letting him come off. I'm not opposed to that idea for Russ, that he could bring this extra energy off the bench. Maybe that can really refuel him and then let him just kind of come out. He doesn't have to deal with Braun or AD on the floor. He can come with that second unit and just do stuff that Russell Westbrook does. Maybe that's the best path for him. I'm not exactly sure right now. Darvin Ham and the Lakers seem to have that in mind for them. Now, keep in mind, too, the Lakers are still trying to get Bogey from the Jazz. Brody seems the only way there. Maybe they do something with Nunn. But that's really the only piece you have left. The only players the Lakers can technically trade right now, well, there's 4, but they're not trading Anthony Davis and they're not trading LeBron. The only players they can technically trade right now, from my belief, is Kendrick Nunn and Wayne Gabriel. They may be able to trade Max Christie as well. Right now, I don't think he's planted to the main starting lineup for the Lakers. He'll probably go and start a season maybe down. And the G League would be my thought. And then maybe bring him up, because the Lakers have 3 rookies right now that we'll have to see how they look in preseason. Scottie Pippen Jr., Max Christie, who was drafted, and Cole Swader. Swader is the most interesting of them all because he's by far the best 3-point shooter that they have in rotation right now. So you will have to keep an eye on Cole and how he does. I think all those rookies really have a chance to impress them in the preseason And maybe right now the Lakers do have a 15th open spot right now. They brought in Jeremy Lamb, Shabazz Muhammad, and two others. Those are the two more recognizable names to come in and do a tryout. And notice there are a lot of wings. Then there's the talk that Pat Bev has talked about, maybe I can guard the wing position. So a lot of interesting things going on with who can take on the wing position for the Lakers. And Pat Bev seems to be the guy that he thinks that he could do it. But my best estimation is they'll only use Pat Bev in the slightest sense of emergency. Bron will obviously be running the point, the three, a majority of the games that the Lakers have, with a chance that Austin Reeves could come in and take that. I would look at 2-1 Toscano Anderson. He has a chance to play a little bit of the three as well. Troy Brown may play a little bit, and then the wild card with Lonnie Walker. And how is he going to fit into this team? They were the one that gave him the vet min, kind of the same what they did last year with Malik Monk. Will he be able to kind of redeem his career the way that Monk did? And now he obviously went to Sacramento, so we'll see. As for Schroeder, I like the piece on the whole overall. I think he's a great scorer. He can be a good facilitator. My problem with Schroeder, and I really bugged me in that final game when they played against the Suns, and he just held the ball for way too long. And that's something you can't do in this offense right now, especially with guys like Brody and Bron that need the ball. Pat Bev can be a little bit better with not needing the ball. Kendrick Nunn probably wants the ball a little bit, but and Kendrick Nunn's the ultimate wild card in this of what can he be. He kind of seems to be like a free agent addition for the Lakers so far. So they bring in Schroeder. They have a little bit of a point guard problem there, but he's a guy that can score the basketball. He's a guy that can get his own shot, and at times I think the Lakers are going to need that. And, it, you know, if it leads to less minutes for Brody and more minutes for him, we'll see. He's been able to play in this offense with AD and Bron. He knows how to work with them. And defensively, he was a great player. And he was a big part of helping the Lakers when we had that run with Bron and AD were down. Schroeder and at the time KCP and Kuzma were all big parts of helping that Laker team move forward. So for that reason alone, I'm happy to have him back. And he adds a guy that's good on defense. Schroeder's good on defense. Austin Reeves, Bron, and AD, we know they can be. So it doesn't really change the position of where the Lakers are. I still have them to an 8-9 seed as of right now, and we'll see kind of maybe how Darvinham can readjust everything come the preseason. The next story is a sad one, and that is on Amani Bates. So Eastern Washington, Michigan. So used to talking about Eastern Washington players when we had the fantastic receiver on here the other day. But Eastern Michigan University star Amani Bates was arraigned on gun charges Monday afternoon. EMU announced he has been suspended from practice and playing privileges following the arraignment. They left a statement saying, "We are aware of the situation involving men's student-athlete Amani Bates. Eastern Michigan University takes all allegations of this nature very seriously. Per department policy, he has been suspended automatically from practice and playing privileges until the legal process is resolved. Because this is an ongoing legal matter, the university will have no further comment on this time." Washington County Sheriff Office deputies in Superior Township pulled Bates over after he failed to stop at an intersection on Sunday night. During the investigation, the sheriff's office said a firearm was discovered and Bates was taken into custody. Court records show he is charged with two felonies, one for carrying a concealed weapon and one for altering ID marks on a weapon. An attorney for Bates entered a no plea on his behalf this afternoon, and the judge set a personal bond on his case, which means he can leave jail without paying any money. His probable cause hearing is set for October 6th. Bates, so this is where the sad part goes for Bates. He was the number one college recruit in the class of 2021. Originally, he committed to go to Michigan State, then he reclassified after he left high school, and then he was going to go to Memphis, and now he's reclassified to Eastern Michigan. Last year for Memphis, he averaged 9.7 points per game, 3 rebounds, shot 38 from the field, and it's not a good look. It's a really sad story, a really unfortunate story for a guy that everybody had such high hopes for. I know when he was in that transfer pool This year, there was teams, obviously the Carolinas, the Dukes, all of them were thinking, hey, if we can get a chance to take this kid, maybe we can be the one that redeem him. You know, he had an unfortunate slump of a season last year. Maybe we can find him now. But now with these gun charges put on to his record, it's not good. It's especially, you know, reducing the weapon. It's not ideal in any of this right now. Yeah, with the altering of the ID marks on the weapon, that's not good. Concealing the weapon. What they seem to be going with right now, what their proceedings are, is that it was not his car. So we will see kind of how all that breaks down right now for Bates. But it's one of those stories when you see it and your heart just falls. Because this was a kid, and this is a kid, that we still have a lot of high hopes for going forward into the drafts, into the NBA, what he can do, because he was a number one ranked player for a reason. And we saw that talent, and the process didn't go as well as he wanted to when his first maybe round going to Memphis, but he was just a freshman, kind of goes back home to the Michigan area. You figure maybe that will work for him. And now this, so we'll see if he can get it behind him. But normally when you get stuff like this piled up, NBA teams are going to get scared to draft you. And we'll see how he can redeem himself going forward. First, the charges are the most pressing matter of everything. Hopefully he can get by on these charges and have a chance to move forward and either do his time and then get back. And we'll kind of see what happens with the process. Like I said, the next hearing is on October 6th. So it'll be something to closely watch for a guy that had high expectations going to the NBA, but just a really sad story. And these kids, some of them, they just make really stupid decisions, and this is one that could be a life-altering stupid decision. And we'll see how it plays out for the kid, because he was super talented. I was rooting for the kid, and a lot of the freshman stuff I saw from him, there was glimpses at Memphis that I really did see from him, some of the high school tape that I saw. It's so hard because these kids just put out highlights, right? They don't give the faults of what they do. They just show them putting down the dunk, knocking down a three, all that. But some of the more breakdown stuff I saw, there was a lot of potential. You could see why this kid was a number one prospect. So hopefully everything can be worked out and he can get his career back on track to be that top prospect that we know he can be. Speaking about prospects, well, folks, this has just gotten very interesting today, that the NBA and the NBAPA have talked about potentially changing the age for NBA players. So originally the idea was that you have to go to college. That was the rule. And now the rumored NBA super draft that we had been hearing about forever, it's coming. And I think a lot of people thought, oh, well, maybe this will jump into the next year that we're having. So this one with Wembanyama in it will be the super draft. And that's not the case. So we will go to the next year right now. And that has guys in 2024 that has guys like the like of DJ Wagner. The top ranked guy is Xavier Booker right now. In that, DJ Wagner was a top-rated recruit coming out of it. Obviously, Bronny James is the one that's on a lot of people's know-all, obviously with the connection to Bron, Mikey Williams. These are guys that have already kind of made their names known into the mainstream. Now, the question will be, will the 2025 NBA draft, will that sneak in to that 2024 draft? And that has guys like Trey Johnson on it, that's, you know, a highly recruited athlete right now. And so this is where it's going to get interesting. This is where, when the Lakers, for example, or the Bucks did the trades for Drew or Anthony Davis respectfully, they got a lot of people talking about, I don't know if you want to give up the 2024 NBA draft pick, because that could be the super draft. And that is looking more and more like we are getting to have the super draft now. And that, in a way, if that is the case, that hurts someone like Bronny James that isn't as highly recruited right now. and who knows where he could land. But obviously, with the race for LeBron and everything like that, it'll be very interesting. Personally, I don't think that should... I don't know. I'm someone... Anyone that's followed Fresh Take for the longest time knows that I love the college game, and I love seeing these players go to college. But also, I've seen guys like Nas Little go to Carolina 1 year, and I'm out. Kobe White, 1 year, and I'm out. And it's really frustrating to see that when you have these guys that are one and done in your school. And I know the Kentuckys and the Dukes, they've done it. But for Duke, it really hasn't paid off for them. Kentucky, it hasn't paid off for them. If it was me personally, I would say a minimum 2 years in college, personally. Just to move forward, develop your skills. But I've kind of grown a little bit out of that side when you look at where the game is growing and going. You have the G League, Ignite. You have players who are going to go over to Europe. You have players who are going to go over to Australia. You have players who are going to play in Canada and the CELB. The game has opened up so much more now. So for some of these younger talents that want the ability to go and get paid somewhere, that ability is there more than ever now, where it just wasn't available before. And some of them financially, even if they, you know, now that we do have the ability for college athletes to get paid to a degree and do commercials, for some of these athletes, they want that immediate side for payment to make that jump out to the NBA. I personally prefer them to take those 2 years at college, grow their game, and then come out. I think there's a sense of watching these players for 2 years, watching them grow the collegiate side, and then moving on. But like I said, it's just not going to be that simple anymore with all the ways that we have and all the organizations that have opened up. It's a lot to process for yourself if you're a young talent and what you want to do with your future. If you need that financial viability, it's right there for you. If you're not interested in going to college, right? If you just want to hoop, right? I think the ability to have a collegiate education is something that you shouldn't pass up. But again, there's some players' shoes I'm just not going to be in for that financial side that I will never understand, that they need that immediately for family members and themselves or whatever, and they need that immediately jump to the NBA. If not, then they would take a G League, they take a Europe, Aussie, or CLB level of going there. So with all that said, now it seems more and more like the NBA is going to be going this way going forward, and it's exciting to have this superclass come. And there's a lot of wrinkle down now as far as what will teams do for trades. Now knowing this information, and you have your 2024 picks, and I want to go look here who has their picks and who doesn't. Like the Lakers, for example, they don't have the rights to it. The Pelicans do. So that's why like a lot of people were so concerned for the Lakers side. So, all right, let's look at this for the first round. So Atlanta, they have their own, and then they have Sacramento's 15 to 30, so there must be some protections on that. Boston currently owns their own. The Brooklyn Nets goes to Houston, and it doesn't seem there's any protections on that. So that is terrible. If, let's say, Kyrie leaves as a free agent next year, and you're going to that season, the Brooklyn Nets are high and dry right now. Charlotte, they own theirs right now. And then they have a San Antonio pick from 15 to 30. And then a Denver pick as well. So when they say the 15 to 30, I guess that's with outside of the lottery, potentially. Chicago, they only have their own if it's a 1 to 30. And then it's a 4 to 30 to Orlando. So this is where the Vooch trade comes up. And how bad does that look? Vooch could be totally gone off of this team. But as we talked about, for 2024, now all of a sudden this is a super draft, potentially, right? You're taking the classes of 2024 and 2025, and you can mush them together. So a talent that maybe would have been in that draft, maybe a second round pick, or maybe one in this one that would have been a second overall pick, all of a sudden they're right there at potentially four for you. So that's the first side of this, that it looks like having your pick for 2024 is huge. Talking about a team for 2024 that has their pick, the Cleveland Cavaliers. And they were very careful when they did their trades with Utah to not trade them till after the Donovan Mitchell, like, till they had like a few years of Donovan Mitchell, till after potentially if he does leave in free agency. So that pays off dividends for the Cavaliers. They're probably going to have a good pick, but again, with the super draft there, even if the Cavs are in the back 20, that's huge, and that was smart, smart thinking there by the GM. The Mavs, interesting. So 1 to 10 is their own. 11 to 30 is the Knicks. So you would assume with Dallas being what they are and having Luka, that pick is probably going to become down to the Knicks. Now, with that case, I don't know for sure. I would assume that the Knicks can't trade that pick, and that's going to be the interesting part too. With the cap is probably going to be going up, right? So the cap goes up, and then the next part of this all too is when this gets settled, right? So the season will end and we'll have that short period before we have the draft, so the 2024 draft, for example, and we'll have an idea maybe by that time. I wonder if when the cap is going to be, because I believe around that time the cap is going to go up, we'll have a new CBA, TV contracts and all that, and then teams are going to have these picks. So it's going to be very interesting, especially for a team like the Knicks. With this draft, they get that 11th pick, lottery pick in the super draft. Completely can change what the Knicks want to do, and there's always an unhappy superstar. So, because I would expect the Knicks, with that pick, they're going to be, assuming with it being Dallas, it's going to be around the 20s. Denver, it's their own if it's 1 to 14, and then it goes to Chicago, to Charlotte if it's 15 to 30. Detroit, their own, again, another Knicks pick here. So this is when the Knicks did all those picks for trades this year. I kind of understand a little bit of the method to the madness now that they were doing, because all of a sudden the Knicks may start having a buttload of picks for the super draft. That's really, really interesting all of a sudden. And you know, I look at that Pistons team, it's a little bit more dicey, but 19 to 30 for the Knicks to have that pick is entirely possible with the development of Cade Cunningham. So if you're a Knicks fan, all of a sudden, you're rooting hard for Dallas, you're rooting hard for the Pistons, because you can start adding up these picks. Golden State, it is their own pick, 1 to 4, but then 5 to 30, it's Memphis. So that is more than likely going to be a Memphis pick. So Memphis is going to get another young talent out of the super draft down the stretch. Houston, 1 to 4, their own, 5 to 30, OKC. So that's interesting. The one thing I'm kind of noticing so far too is that not a lot of teams really own their own pick until this one right here, the Indiana Pacers. And for those teams that own those own pick, that is so important. And the reason why is you can trade it if you wanted to. You can use that as a bargaining chip. Teams like Houston, for example, or OKC, let's just say, with that Houston pick, if it's 5 to 30, going to the Thunder, they're not going to have any idea what they can do with that pick until the season is over. But you're a team like the Pacers right now, knowing that now the CBA is probably going to change and this 2024 draft is going to be what it is, you all of a sudden have the keys to do whatever you want to do with that pick and dangle it if you wanted a big move. Let's say Benedict moves ahead faster than you want, or Halliburton moves ahead faster than you want next season, right? And you want to use that chip to bring in the superstar next year to bring you around some of your young talent there. Indiana has that pick to do just that. Or they'll suck for these next 2 years, be in the lottery in top of this super draft. So that's really interesting. Clippers, doesn't matter. That pick's going to OKC. For the Lakers, so it goes into the Pelicans unless the Pelicans defer in to receive the Lakers' 2025 pick. So I don't think that's happening. So that pick is definitely going to the Pels right now with what this draft is going to be. So, and this was a lot of talk. I know Bill Simmons talked about this quite a bit of, this was the pick that he said if he was the Lakers, he would have added protections to. And I would agree on that, because there's no way, even if this is the Lakers win the championship this year and that falls to 30, let's just say, there's no way they're going to defer on that. There's no way they're going to defer on that. The Grizz, this Memphis Grizzlies team, folks, they own their pick and potentially the Golden State Warriors pick. How's about that? And I believe that Grizzlies thing is just for them taking on Iggy's contract, if I'm not mistaken. So that is phenomenal. For the Bucks, this again comes down to that the Pels can do a swap. So, of course, whatever the higher pick is, Pels will definitely do a swap. So the Pels are going to be eaten in this draft. Minnesota owns their own. So, again, a team that did a favorable thing for them, had a big trade come up where they got Rudy Gobert, but saved this pick for themselves, and that's going to be a huge piece for this franchise going forward. New Orleans, we don't have to talk about, because we know that they will more than likely get this Lakers pick out of this, and that they can have the swap with Milwaukee. The Knicks, they have their own, and then everything else we talked about, but also, they also have Washington, 13-30. So that's going to be a close one. And keep an eye on the Wiz. So, again, for the Knicks now, they're keeping an eye on the Mavs. They're keeping an eye on Detroit. And they're keeping an eye on Washington. And they have their own pick. So, potentially, for the New York Knicks, they can head into this super draft with four picks. Pretty interesting for the Knicks. And that could be the cavalcade that could finally land the New York Knicks a superstar if you come into this draft. Now, some of those picks may be late. Let's just say everything breaks. The best scenario for the Knicks right now, right? That Dallas pick, it ends at 11. So you have the 11th pick. The Detroit pick ends at 19. And the Wizards end at 13. So 11, 13, and 19 in the super draft in 2024. And your own, wherever that's going to be for the Knicks. And let's be honest, it's the Knicks, so it's more likely going to be a lottery pick. That's going to do a lot for you. OKC, they have their own. And then obviously we talked about Houston's and Utah's. Utah's, if it's outside of the top 10, that goes to OKC. Utah will probably be keeping that pick with the range that they've set themselves into right now, unless Colin Sexton or whoever they draft, if they get Wembanyama, let's say next year, and it entirely changes. Orlando, they have their own, and then they have that Chicago pick, which is 4-30. I think that will also be there. So Orlando, another hot young team, two picks in the super draft, and they have their own too. So that's going to be interesting for Orlando as a team that's growing right now. They can come into next summer and dangle that pick, knowing that they still potentially have the Chicago pick as well. So they're really dealing in a positive matter right now, knowing that they have this 2024 pick of their own and they have the next year's pick. Sixers own their own pick, so that's huge for the Philly. Phoenix also owns their own pick, huge for Phoenix. So those are two teams there, championship level contenders, going to be able to do whatever they want with it. Portland, they own their own, and then they have a Chicago one. I don't know how that works with the Orlando side. Maybe that gets settled in a prior draft. Sacramento, in the lottery, it's theirs. If it's outside the lottery, it goes to Atlanta that we talked about. The Spurs, they own theirs, and if not, well, they own their own, and then if it's outside of the lottery for the Hornets, that pick goes to them, so Spurs potentially with two. Toronto Raptors, of course, they own their own. Jazz, we talked about, and the Wiz, we talked about. So I think the biggest winner, looking at all that right now, to me, could be the Knicks. Like I said, four potential picks there for the Knicks. The biggest loser is probably either Chicago or the Lakers out of it. I mean, the Clippers are already out of it. Right, but so the Clippers just don't plan around it. So I don't really think they lose in a sense of not having that pick, but the Clippers don't have to plan around having a pick in that super draft. The Lakers will literally be waiting to see if the Pellies recede that pick and maybe wait for another year. I highly doubt that they will wait in that year. And the Lakers don't also have a second round pick that year either. So at Chicago, You traded for Vooch, and who knows where that Chicago Bulls team's going to be. That will be interesting with Chicago, just with, and I say this with all sincerity, I think that Chicago team is a great team and super talented, but you got Zach LaVine, injury history, everything terrible going on with Lonzo Ball. Things go the wrong way in 2 years, who knows? I don't think they'll be that low, but if that ends up being a fourth pick in this super draft for Orlando, and then Orlando owns their own, that's going to be devastating for Chicago and just a huge rocket for Orlando. So I think you've kind of seen here, like, there's a lot of teams in here that could really reshape the NBA. And I think the biggest one is, if things fall correctly for them, could be the Knicks, who could potentially have four picks in the super draft. So that's very, very, very interesting. All right, so we're going to end there. And I think the next time we come back and talk about hoops, we will actually have some games, some preseason games to talk about. And I guess on the NBA side of things, I was able to do a talk to the documentarian for the Grizzly Truth. And that will be coming out October 2nd, I believe. So keep an eye on that, talking about the Grizzlies leaving Vancouver and coming to grips with that, and the super fan. And it was a really fun conversation. And the documentary will be showcasing off here in Calgary at SIFF. And obviously in Vancouver, that'll be the first movie they show for their film festival. So really excited for that. And getting close to NBA season. And then I guess we may do one pod before games, technically, that we can digest. But there will be games. And we have games here in, one more weekend, and then we have games. The 3rd, 4th, there will be games. The 2nd, there'll be a game up in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And then on the 3rd and the 4th, maybe somewhere between there, there is rumored of the expansion announcement. And that's going to be interesting how that plays as well into the lottery and how that all breaks down. So I'm really interested how that breaks down in the lottery. So it's going to be an exciting roller coaster here for the next few days as the NBA really sets up for growth, and transactions are going to change now with this news, as we talked about. So, and we'll see, too, if there is expansion, will it be the 2024 season? And that changes everything, too, because all of a sudden, where would this potential Vegas and Seattle team, where would they find themselves in the expansion type of roster? And could there be more? It sounds like it's Vegas and Seattle, rightfully so, but we'll find out. And it'll be very, very interesting. All right, everyone, thanks so much for listening to the ISOPod with Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot. And until next time, everyone, cheers and enjoy the game.